Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Wednesday, February 19th, Hamas proposes an exchange of all Israeli captives and Palestinian prisoners in one go during the second phase of the Gaza ceasefire plan. The future of children in violence-racked countries like DRC and Haiti is jeopardized by conflict and insecurity. But first, Pope Francis continues to rest and recover in Rome's Gemelli Hospital. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. In a note to journalists on Wednesday morning, the Holy See Press Office said Pope Francis spent a restful night in the Gemelli Hospital where he's being treated for double pneumonia, and he had breakfast as usual. Pope Francis has been in hospital since Friday when he was admitted after suffering from bronchitis for the last 2 weeks. After the diagnosis of bilateral pneumonia and asthmatic bronchitis, his pharmaceutical therapy has been adjusted. Matteo Bruni, the director of the Holy See Press Office, said the Holy Father remains in good spirits. This has been confirmed by Giorgia Meloni, the head of the Italian government, who this afternoon visited Pope Francis at the hospital. At least 3 Palestinians have been killed and 11 injured in Israeli attacks across Gaza in the past 24 hours. This is according to the enclave's health ministry. While Hamas proposed exchanging all Israeli captives and Palestinian prisoners in one go during a second phase of the Gaza ceasefire deal with the aim of reaching a permanent truce and a full Israeli pullout. Muntha Isaac, a Palestinian pastor, author and theologian based in the West Bank where he heads Bethlehem's Lutheran Church, on Wednesday visited the Vatican where he was supposed to meet with Pope Francis. Due to the Pope's health, that encounter had to be postponed, but Pastor Isaac did take a moment to speak to Vatican Radio about the Pope's solidarity with the Palestinian people.
Pope Francis is so much loved and beloved in Palestine by all people. And before we talk about, you know, his appeals for Gaza and his, you know, communication with the parishioners there, one of the long-standing moments in our memory as Palestinians will always be when he stopped his car outside of the separation wall separating Bethlehem from Jerusalem and said a small prayer. And I think in that moment he touched the depth of our hearts, and it was a moment I felt that humanized Palestinians. The reality in Palestine has made us feel as Palestinians, not just as isolated, but dehumanized. You know, we think, does the world think of us as equals? The abuses of human rights are well documented. What happened in Gaza was horrific, and we think, does the world care? Do they see us as equals? And the genuine care from the Pope to all people in Palestine, and of course to the parishioners, his communication, touches us deeply because it shows that he cares. It's not as if for publicity's sake. No, he genuinely cares. In addition, he spoke strongly before that throughout this war, calling Israeli action, you know, terrorism, calling for an investigation if a genocide took place or not. I think this is really important for someone like the Pope, his caliber, his position, to use this language, to call for accountability, and at the same time to humanize the plight of Palestinians. So we are so grateful, and we will continue to pray for his recovery and health. Unfortunately, we are not able to meet him this trip, but what's more important is that he recovers from this illness.
And that was Muntha Isaac, a Lutheran pastor, author and theologian based in Bethlehem, speaking there to Vatican Radio's Joseph Tulloch. Congolese religious leaders are aiming to organize peace talks that would bring DRC President Felix Tshisekedi's government, Rwanda-backed M23 rebels, and exiled opposition figures around the same negotiating table. This comes as M23 continues to advance in the DRC after seizing eastern Congo's 2 largest cities. The church-led diplomacy is the latest push for a resolution as anxiety rises in the capital, Kinshasa, with some officials seeking to leave amid fear of a coup coup. The latest flare-up in the long-running conflict in eastern Congo has killed thousands, according to UN figures, and drawn in Congo's neighbours, raising fears of an all-out regional war. Meanwhile, as Christopher Wells reports, the UN's Children Fund, UNICEF, is warning that the situation is desperate for more than 1.5 million children who are out of school.
With violence surging and the resulting displacement of millions of people, the UN Children's Agency, UNICEF, is calling for emergency measures to save the school year for hundreds of thousands of children in the Democratic Republic of Congo. This is a desperate situation for children, said Jean-Francois Basse, UNICEF's acting representative in the DRC. Education and the support system it provides, he said, is what children need to retain a sense of normalcy and to recover and rebuild after this conflict. According to UNICEF, more than 6.5 million people are displaced in the eastern part of the DRC, including 2.6 million children. In addition to ongoing violence, the number of displaced persons has placed immense strain on the education system, with more than 2,500 schools and learning spaces closed in the provinces of North and South Kivu. Almost 800,000 children in the two provinces are deprived of education, up from 465,000 just a few months ago. Including neighboring Ituri province, over 1.6 million children are now out of school. In response to the urgent educational needs, UNICEF is seeking $52 million U.S. dollars as it works with partners to set up temporary learning spaces and distribute educational materials along with hygiene and sanitation kits. I'm Christopher Wells.
Meanwhile, violence and atrocities continue to plague the people of Haiti, and the influence of armed gangs there continues to rise. Amnesty International reported on Wednesday that between 30 and 50% of gang members are children. Many of them are forced to become informants, soldiers, cooks, and are even used as wives for gang members. The UNICEF representative in Haiti released a statement on X challenging the international community not to remain silent. The John Paul II Foundation for the Sahel is meeting in Dakar, Senegal, this week to discuss new development projects amid new challenges in the troubled African region. Participants include Monsignor Roberto Campisi, Undersecretary for General Affairs of the Vatican Secretariat of State, and Sister Alessandra Smirilli, Secretary of the Dicastery for Promoting Integral Human Development. She urged collective efforts to promote integral human development in what is one of the poorest regions in the world. Lisa Zingarini reports.
Representing the Vatican Secretariat of State at the session, Monsignor Roberto Campisi reaffirmed Pope Francis' ongoing support for the mission of the John Paul II Foundation for the Sahel, one of the poorest regions of the planet. The foundation was established in 1984 by Pope St. John Paul II to provide the Holy See's concrete support to the drought-stricken populations in the region, in collaboration with the local church and communities. The foundation focuses on combating desertification, aiding drought victims, and promoting sustainable development by supporting projects in environmental protection, agriculture, water management, and renewable energy that benefit people of different faiths. Addressing its board of directors on Tuesday, Monsignor Campisi emphasized that Africa, particularly the Sahel, is grappling with armed conflicts and environmental crises that need a strategic and structured approach to humanitarian and development initiatives, remarking the significance of fraternity and communion among bishops engaged in the foundation's work. He further highlighted that it must continue to focus on integral human development while also structuring its initiatives based on the guidelines of Pope Francis' reform of the Roman Curia. Adding to the discussion, Sister Alessandra Smirilli, Secretary of the Dicastery for Promoting Integral Human Development, stressed the importance of addressing systemic injustices that fuel conflicts in the Sahel. Echoing Pope Francis, she urged collective efforts to combat poverty, promote integral human development, and foster peaceful coexistence. Sister Smirilli also expressed gratitude for the continued commitment to building a better Africa, one where fraternity is not just an ideal, but a lived reality. I am Lisa Zingarini.
The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops have sued the Trump administration over its abrupt halt to funding of refugee resettlement, calling the action unlawful and harmful to newly arrived refugees and to the nation's largest private resettlement program. The bishops said on Tuesday that by withholding millions, even for reimbursements of costs incurred before the sudden cutoff of funding, the government violates various laws, as well as the constitutional provision giving the power of the purse to Congress, which had already approved the funding. The Catholic Church always works to uphold the common good of all and promote the dignity of the human person, especially the most vulnerable among us, said Archbishop Timothy Broglio, president of the USCCB. That includes the unborn, the poor, the stranger, the elderly and the infirm and migrants, he said. The funding suspension, he continued, prevents the Church from doing so. And he noted that the conference suddenly finds itself unable to sustain its work to care for the thousands of refugees who were welcomed into our country and assigned to the care of the USCCB by the government after being granted a legal status. And finally, as Pope Francis receives ongoing medical care at Rome's Gemelli Hospital for double pneumonia, he has released the catechesis prepared for his Wednesday general audience, which would have taken place this morning. In his catechesis, which the Holy See Press Office published at noon, the Pope focused on the visit of the three kings to the newborn Jesus as he continued to explore the gospel narratives which recount the infancy of the Lord. Deborah Castellano-Lubov reports.
As Pope Francis receives ongoing medical care at Rome's Gemelli Hospital for double pneumonia, he has called on the faithful to embrace the irrepressible joy of the child Jesus following the three kings' example. Since his medical team has ordered complete rest, the Pope asked the Holy See Press Office to publish the text that had been prepared for his Wednesday general audience. In his catechesis, the Pope focused on the visit of the three kings to the newborn Jesus as he continued to explore the gospel narratives which recount the Lord's infancy. The Pope examines their journey and visit to the Christ child, underscoring that when the Magi depart, the star reappears and leads them to Jesus. This, he observed, is a sign that creation and the prophetic word are the alphabet, he noted, by which God speaks and allows himself to be found. The sight of the star, he wrote, inspires an irrepressible joy in those men, because the Holy Spirit, who stirs the heart of whoever sincerely seeks God, also fills it with joy. In fact, upon entering the house, the Magi, the Holy Father noted, prostrated themselves, worshipped Jesus, and offered him the most precious gifts, worthy of a king, worthy of God. The Magi, he noted, become the first believers among all the pagans. Dear brothers and sisters, the Pope encouraged, let us place ourselves in the school of the Magi, these pilgrims of hope, who, with great courage, directed their steps and their hearts, as well as their possessions, toward the Lord, who is the hope not only of Israel, but of all nations. Pope Francis concluded his address by inviting all the faithful to likewise offer the Christ child the most beautiful gifts, in order to express to him our faith and our love. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
And that's all for this edition of Vatican and World News. Join us tomorrow at the same time for more. Thanks to Alberto Giovannitti in studio in the Vatican. I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.